And then we can play ball. Hope that wasn't on. Okay. Rabbi said we're about to embark upon a next sugya. And I'll tell you a secret. This is a fairly short sugya. Okay? It's a very, very serious sugya. And some of the things we're going to begin to develop now are going to come back to us very, very much more be'arichos, actually, in the next sugya. So I broke it up into two sugyas. I broke it into general topic of bittul b'min b'mino. And then hopefully mention the following series is going to be Chometz to Pesach Asa B'Mashu, which is a continuation and then a significant elaboration upon that. So I think the next two sugyas should take us till Rosh Hashanah, I'm pretty sure, okay? So that's a couple of days this week or next week. So this sugya gets us on the shorter end, but the second sugya is significantly longer. So this sugya begins with Rava's realization that there's such a thing called Te'imas Kfeila. Now, again, we spent a lot of time talking about how that works, just in terms of the Hagdor of Nemonas of that, Sech Vitumos, and Ummans, and the Gluyes, and the Raises. We spent a lot of time on that, but the Mais it works. Rabbi Yochanan already told us it works, and Rava bought into that as well. And then Rava elaborates upon this, and Rava tells us that once we've identified this idea of Kfeila, we now can actually break up all of Tarovsim into three distinct categories, or three different solutions to three different types of problems. The Omar Rava, on the bottom line, said he's having off. The Omar Rava, Omar Rabbana B'Taima, the Omar Rabbana B'Kfeila, we're actually going to turn the page, guys. So Omar Rabbana B'Taima, so Chacham sometimes say the way to solve the dilemma, the way to be mapped the Tarovsim is through the vehicle of Ta'am. Sometimes the Rabbana say through the vehicle of Kfeila. So what's the difference? Isn't Kfeila Tam? What's the answer? Tam means Tam of a Jew. So sometimes we're going to rely on a Jew being Tohen. Category number two is we're going to rely on a Goy being Tohen. And Vam Rabbanu B'Shishim, and the top side is Aaron Mays. And every once in a while, we're not going to go down either one of those routes. We're going to go down the route of Shishim, Bittul B'Shishim. These are the three categories. This is one of the most sadistic statements of Rav. If you walk away for the end of the year, you can't say this in your sleep. There's certain things you have to be able to say in your sleep. You have to be able to say, Lo Asher Terel Kedeh Bas Yoyma. You have to be able to say this. You got to be able to say, Eren Nesa Yochel Esa Machashir Yatsu Yochel Echel Shav. Certain things, it's just like, if you can't say those things 15 times fast, then you did not learn Chulon this year. Okay? So, Amr Rabbanan B'Taima, Amr Rabbanan B'Kfeila, Amr Rabbanan B'Shisha. So now Rav elaborates. Hilkach, therefore. Min B'She'en Amino Dehet Teira. If it's a Tarov, it's a Min B'She'en Amino. So what is that a code phrase for? When you say Min B'She'en Amino, what do you have to reckon with? What must you be concerned with? Whatever the two different minim, therefore the what is discernible? The taste is potentially discernible. So therefore we have to reckon with Tam Kikar. Now again, whether we have to reckon with that at a level of Deraisa or Derabonim, sometimes depends, that's already hopefully we have to Shema Sugya down the line. But we cannot ignore Tam, as the Mishnah says, Beferish. So whenever you have a Tarovus of Min B'She'en Amino, Tam is critical. And therefore, someone's got to be towing this to make sure that there's no tam. So if it's that teira, such as truma, like we've learned in Amud Aleph, so then betaimus, then just have pulling the Jew, pulling the kain, and call it a day. These surah, if it's a question of a tam of iser, it's chazir, it's possible chav, something like that, so then we're going to do the same kind of a test. It's categorically really the same. It's halachically the same mechanism, but Rava split it up into two, because one's a Jew, one's a goy, one is Erech Nebisur, and one is something else, whatever that something else is. So Rava tells us, if it's Be'at Teira, then it's the time of a Jew. If it's the Surah B'Kfeila, then it's the time of a Goyish K'Feila. Umin B'mino, D'leika L'meikim A'Taima. What if you have a Tarov to Min B'mino? So a little bit of Nevela falls into a little bit of kosher meat, so you're going to bring in the best expert chef in the world. What are you going to ask them? You're going to bring in, what's her name again? Julia, what? Your child? So you're going to bring her in and say, here's that dilemma. And the dilemma is, we're cooking a pot of kosher chicken soup and a little bit of tray for chicken soup fell. It's min b'mino. So we want you, with your expert taste, to tell us, do you taste the tray for chicken soup? What does she say? Shugunim. It's the same taste. Everybody knows. It's the exact same taste. A little more MSG, a little less MSG. It's all the same taste. So comes a kfeila, or comes a kain, and it says, it's min b'mino. What do you taste? Well, what is tasting going to help? So obviously tasting is irrelevant. So what do you do when you have min b'mino? When it says, Leis Breira, the lake will make a taima, or Inami, Min B'She'en Amino di Surva like a Kfeila. What if you have a Min B'She'en Amino of Isser and there's no going around? You don't live the new square, there's no going around. So what do? So then we throw our hands and say, all right, what do you want from me, B'Shishim? Okay, B'Shishim's good enough also. Okay? So what did Rava just tell us? Rava just told us a Kivaldi double chiddush. He told us that the real way to solve Milsim Tam problems is very simple. What's the classic way to solve?
Tam.
Is by having someone taste it. So you gotta figure out Jew, goy, yeah, kfeil, not kfeil, mitumah, you gotta work out the details. But obviously, what we'd like to do to solve this, we'll mark it. What I'm really trying to do is to solve a Tom problem. So the best way to do it is to be Tepaim, and again, Jew, goy, etc. But every once in a while, Toim is not an option. Toim cannot be an option either because it's a Nimbamino. Well, Toim cannot be an option because Ain Kfeila. So Lay's brave, either one for different reasons, but either one of these two cases, then you fall back on Ditul B'Shishu. That can be everyone. So if you corner Rava and ask him, Rava, tell me, Lamaisa. A little bit of tray for chicken soup fell into a big, huge pot of kosher chicken soup, and it's got 5,000 times of kosher. What would Rava say? Mutter. What did Rava just take a stand on? An age-old machlek is a tanoim. Because there are tanoim who would never say such a thing. There's actually one tana whose name comes to mind who would never pass in such a way. Who is that tana? We've had him already, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda subscribed to the following din on the level of the Araisa called Min Bimino Einod Batel. So from the fact that Rav is even entertaining the possibility of Bittel, of any number, whatever, no matter what the number is, called Chichim, called Neik, called 100,000, 10 billion, the fact that Rav is even entertaining the parish of Bittel, vis-a-vis Min Bimino, one thing I can tell you that this is not Rabbi Yehuda speaking. This must be the Rabbanon speaking. No question about it, this is the Rabbanon speaking. And what do the Rabbanon say? What is the Shia Bittel of Min Bimino? If it's not also the Mashlik of Yudah, so what is it? What is the Shia Bittel? What do you think the Shia Bittel should be according to the Rabbanon? Who's going to tell me? If I would just corner you and say, Rabbanon, how much kosher chicken soup has to be there to be bevalt little tray for chicken soup? What would you say? Who here would say Shishim as the first answer? Why are you embarrassed to say Shishim? Rava just said it. But it doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Why? What is Shishim all about? Shishim is a way to discern. Yet tam nup tam. What are you taking? What are you being mishab Shishim for? We know there's no time. For it's obvious there's no time. For so what do you take? What do you Shishim? So the answer is you're right. Shishim is absolutely ridiculous. Completely irrelevant. Totally off the charts. So what's the Shia Bittel? Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. Rabbi Yehuda is an extreme view. He says, Min Bimino Eina Bottle. And the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, what did they hold? No, Min Bimino is Bottle. What's the number? Come on, give me another number. 20, 37, 496. Give me a number. Give me a number. There is only one other number that makes sense. Bittel Barov. Haram Lahatas, Bittel Barov. So what's Rabbi talking about? Where did Rabbi get Shisha from? Rabbi's Nishinish there. So the answer is, most probably, and again, we're going to hopefully talk about this via Richas Gedola in days and weeks to come, what Rava is probably telling us is, I am not a Rabbi Yehuda person, because Min Bimino B'Shishim, the like Rabbi Yehuda, I must be a Rabbanan, Elik Rabbanan, but even though the Rabbanan speak about Bittel Barov, that must be on a level of what? D'Araisa. Because Midaraisa Shisha makes absolutely no sense, ki hu zeh, by a Min Bimino. There must be some other reason, deep dark reason, lurking in the background, why maybe Midarabanon, the Chachamim, threw Bittel B'Shishim at you. Can anyone have any idea what that reason would be? Anyone want to offer a possible suggestion? Why would the Rabbanon have made such a seemingly irrelevant Gezeres Rabbanon? What was wrong with the way the Chumash set things up? The Rebbeinu Shlom, the Chavei the Atzmei said, Acharav Mahatos. You don't believe Achmir Mahatos? You don't trust the Chacham? You don't trust the Torah? What are you, a Koifer? You don't believe in what it says in the Chumash? So the Torah says Achmir Mahatos. The Torah Shabbat says that it's the source of Bittel Barov. So if it's Minbi, if you want to hug Rabbi Yehuda, had some other deep, dark, secret wise Minbi in the Bata, okay, we don't know what that marker is yet, but we'll hold on to it for a second. But the Rabbanan who deny Rabbi Yehuda and Bittel Barov is clearly the Dimin HaTorah, so why would anybody read Shisha? Why does Rabbi say Shisha? What's the answer? Some Chumim with Rabbanan. Anyone have any ideas? If you were sitting in a base of the government one day, you would ask the sub on the Lishkas HaGozis, and they were discussing this very topic, namely that Midaraisa is the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda was not part of this base. The Rabbanim saying that the deraisa chadish rebotel, people be right, but some of the Rabbanim are suggesting let's make an issa the Rabbanim, and other rabbis are saying no, unnecessary. Yeah. What are they fighting about? What could prompt this issa the Rabbanim? What are we worried about?
Keeping it consistent.
System with what?
I mean, like whenever we're talking about stuff falling into other things.
Wait. So what's Abi saying? Consistent with what? It's a gezeira atu mimbishenu minu. Because mimbishenu minu min takad each shisha because of what? Because you have to move out of the what? The time. So the pashtus of the varm is that when Rava said min b'mina require shisha, it's the like Rav Yehuda, that's for sure. Elikir Rabbanan, but you have to add it's Rabbanan plus a dinder Rabbanan thrown in for good luck called gezeira mino. Anyone know which Rishon says there's black on white? This is an aside. We didn't do it yet in Paris. This is the famous formulation of the Rush. A little bit later on, the Rush is the one who spells us out, Mamish Pemoli. And believe it or not, not all Rishonim agreed to what the Rush said. But this is like the Pashas, this is the ABCs of your day, what the Rush said. That Midarais is Batul Mirayv, Midarabonim, there's a reason to be concerned, and they hiked it up the Shishim, and that's what Rav was talking about at the Tzadzai. But again, one thing is crystal clear, Rabbi Yehuda is off the charts. Rabbi Yehuda was not accepted. If Rabbi Yehuda was right, then there would be no bitul b'mina b'chlal. So we have two things we have to talk about in this video. Number one, we have to analyze why Rabbi Yehuda said what he said, and why the Rabbanan disagreed with what he said. And then number two, don't be so fast to reject Rabbi Yehuda. I am not 100% sure that Rabbi Yehuda was rejected, l'halacha. I have reason to believe that Rabbi Yehuda may have the final word. Notwithstanding what Rava says in Avtzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Again, that may or may not be a true statement, but it's a possibility. So we have a lot of work to do now within the sugyas of Mimbamino. So we got a lot of things to work on. We got to figure out what is this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan all about? What are they fighting about? And then once we figure out what they're fighting about, halacha, who do we follow? What impact do this bizarre sugya, other sugyas have on this? So where does the sugya begin, Rabbi Yisrael? Where does the machlokes begin, the Rabbanan begin? How would you even imagine you were sitting around one fine day and someone asked you the following question? A little bit of trampa chicken soup fell into kosher chicken soup. Rabbi, what's the din? Where would you even look? If you were a Tana, what would you even like say to that topic? You were a Tana, so Melachos didn't even exist yet. You were a Tana. Where would you... How do Tanoim pass Shilas? It's the Chumash, right? So it all starts with the Chumash. So Rabbi Yehuda looked in the Chumash, and he's searching for the answer to this question. Again, a woman standing there with a pot of soup. Imagine this playing out, right? The Haley Yehuda Rabbi Law, he's sitting in the Bismedrish, and he's sitting in Shteigen, he's writing Mishnayis and Brises, and Mamash, Darka, Mamash, Amkas, Advarim. And a woman comes in and says, Yumadein Rabbeinu, a little bit of trick chicken who felt in my big pot of chicken. The coach said, what do I do? The Rebbe says, wait, 1 second. Let's open up a chumash. Open up a Sefer Torah. Havlan v'nikri. He starts reading, Bereishis, Noach, Lech l'chava, Yer l'chava. Okay, we skip there for Bereishis, but not a bit. Shmuel's very well, probably not there either. Then he starts to getting to, you know, Mishpatim, Shoshinogach. That's last year. Shum with the Tzavnam. Yikwitz, Kutchim, Zabrisk, I can help us either. Yikwitz, Tzav, Shmini, Tazri, I gotta say, where's it gonna go? All of a sudden, he remembers, wait, there's a pasuk that bears down on Ashi. What's the pasuk? He got the Parshat Achri Mois, and he saw in Parshat Achri Mois the answer to this riddle. Now, I've read Parshat Achri Mois many, many times. In a million years, I wouldn't have seen the answer to this riddle. But Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he was a Tana, I'm not a Tana. He looks at this pasuk and he says, where's it going? How's it going? V'lokach midam ha'por midam ha'soviv v'nosmon ha'korozam izbayach soviv v'izoloh v'yatvorem shavim t'yarov v'kiddushov mitumo izbina Yisrael. And he comes to the realization that's the answer to the chicken shah. This is Mishkan chicken soup, this is Mishkan Yodeya, this is Kashim, this is Yuma, what Avid is Hayyim. What? Rabbi is sitting with his kittel with Kedusha with Tara reading the Avid is Hayyim and he came to the realization that the chicken soup, what's the name of the shah? So Rabbi Yehuda posed a kasha on the pasuk of Chumash. The Torah says, "V'lokach midam ha'par u'midam ha'soyer." The Torah says, "Take the blood of the par mix it with the Daven Soyer. It's not even 100% clear at what point you're mixing it. That's another topic, but not for now. It's a crushing topic. And mix the blood together, then do Zrikas Adam with that mixture of Dava Far and Dava Soy. So Yehuda says, stop, Evakasha. Evakasha from the farm, says Rabbi Yehuda. What's the kasha from the farm? You ever see a par? They drew a par. Oh, that's a par. Ever see a Sawyer? It's got 4,000 gallons of blood, and it's got 10 cups worth of blood. Yadua shadama pal rubo shadama soya. Everybody knows that there's more dam in the pal than dama soya. So what's the problem? How could the Torah Kedusha say the following statement? V'lakach midam ha-par midam ha-sor. The dam ha-par midam ha-sor is u'ur bi-yachad. How could the Torah call it dam ha-wa? Dam ha-sor is not here anymore. Dam ha-sor is botul b'roiv. After all, when you don't believe in Acharam Lahatos, we just said those every course. We believe in Acharam Lahatos. So there's a din of Acharam Lahatos. So if Rove is true, if you really believe Acharam Lahatos means that the Dovra Muot is command Olesa, if you really believe that, if it's Bottle Beroy, then how can the Torah say to us, honestly, that the Damasar are still here? It must be the Torah is telling us that there is a reason here why the Damasar is not Bottle. What is that reason? What is it about this case? What is the characteristic of this case that would make it not bottle? So now you got to start to look. On the one hand, there's a little bittul beroiv, right? Three dayonim, two out of three say mutter, one says two say chai, one says potter, this is bittul beroiv. And yet, clearly, this is not such a bittul beroiv. What is different about this case? So you have to start to, we do this all the time, you have to find the characteristic that matters. I can tell you 1,000 characteristics that don't matter. I'll tell you one interesting character. It's Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, the rules are different. Okay, it's Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was different? Maybe. I don't know if we can discuss that. It's a cow, and cow, the rules are different. Cows and chickens are nothing. Those are silly distinctions. What's the only distinction that makes any sense, is Rabbi Yehuda? It's min b'mino, it's the same item. It's blood and blood. Min b'mino, ain't a bottle. Come to Rabbi Yehuda and says, once we have this parasha, that is clearly teaching us this idea that min b'mino and a bottle, we can now steal that and plug it back into where? Into Kol Tarkula, including Maseches Chulin. And therefore, when the woman is standing outside the Bismesh waiting for a psach on the chicken soup, the psach of Rebuta was based on the Pasuk of Chumash, and Damafar, and Damasoyer, that chicken soup is treif. I, it's Batal Baro, who cares? But Shishish, I'm nameless. A Batal Elaf Alfi Alafim, three of Revavos, it's not Batal. It's never, there is no Shir Bittal. Hatayre Heida, Damapar, Rubel Shabbat, Damasar, Minbinu, and a Batal. That's Rabbi Yehuda's derivation. And the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, you're 100% right that there is some reason why this Damasar is not bottle, because the Torah calls it Damasar. The Rabbanim don't argue Rabbi Yehuda's basic premise. According to the Rabbanon, Parm also bigger than Tzirim. The Rabbanon agreed to that. They also went to the zoo to check. We checked in the farm, Parm bigger than Tzirim. And the Rabbanon also understood that the Torah is calling it Damasar. That means it's not bottle. The only Nekudas and Machlaikas, a small teeny Nekudas and Machlaikas, where the Yehuda derived that the characteristic that forces Bittul to be irrelevant is Bimbimino, the Rabbi said that's not the characteristic. You know what the characteristic is? There's something else about this parasha that makes it not subject to Bittul. You know what it is?
Oilin.
What does that mean? It's about to put in the Mizbeach. The Dover of Karma Gab Mizbeach is not Bittul. That's the reason why. But Mitam Minbimino, what did the Rabbi say? Mitam Minbimino. Is that a reason not to be bottle? Not a reason b'chol. Ad kan, the machlokes of Yehuda. That machlokes, the lomdus, how do we teach in this pasuk and tavatam apart? The Messiah here sets the stage for the machlokes that tanoim, whether the chicken soup is treif min haTorah according to Yehuda or it's mutal lagamri according to the Rabbanan. Now I ask you, if you were reading this pasuk, I ask you, who do you think's right? How would you even dream to know how to be machriya, which is the correct interpretation as to, we're looking for the secret. Licked in this parish of Dhamma Pasad, licked in this Pasuk of Dhamma Sar, when you hear this on Yom Kippur, I want you guys to think about this in Laney. When you hear those words Dhamma Sar, I want you to remember that there's a reason why the Dhamma Sar is not Bafdo, but I want to know who's right logically. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say what he said, and why did Rabbanan say what they said? It's just arbitrary. You flip the coin and land on heads. What's the svar of a chap? Why should you say one way or the other? So which great Rishon attempts to solve this problem? The Ran. It's the Ran where? What have we said in the past about Ran's in the Dorm? They are collected. Right? There's nothing like the Ran in the Dorm. The Ran's in the Dorm are just, each one is a bigger jewel than the next. We could say, we could even quote Rav Baruch Beis, that's the wrong parak in the Dorm. You know what Rav Baruch Beis said? He was getting older. They asked him, the Rabbi, Achim Beis asked Mishan, what's going to be? So you know what Rav Baruch Beis said? He said, the Achim Beis asked Mishan, I don't want anything. I want in Shemayim the following. They should give me a shtender and a gemara in the Dorm open with a ran in the 10th parak. So give me this right. So that's all I want. I don't need anything else. The oilam and oilam is a shtender, the gemara in the Dorm with a ran. That's it. I'm good to go for eternity. So, Rachman was talking about that ran, but he could have talked about this ran also. Ran the 3rd parak. So this is a collector's item, should have a collector's item. 6th parak, I'm sorry. There's a collector's item to be in the 3rd parak also. In the 6th parak, right? 6th parak? Is Ron? I think it's Zimba. No? Nimbez, right?
Nimbez.
What? Nimbez, yeah. Okay. So comes the Ron with the following. You say it how you say this. I get myself psyched up to begin to say. We're only going to say a Tita Minayama the Ron now, because the bulk of the Ron we're going to talk about in the next segment. But for now, we're going to say either Tita Minayama is enough to keep us going for a while. It's a big Tipa. It's not bulky. Comes around and says, there's a yisay that you say this that governs all of Hilchas Bittel. You know, it's about time we talked about this yisay, because we've been talking about Bittel for the last month or so. There's a yisay that you say this that governs all of Bittel. Bittel v'rayis and v'day. Bittel presupposes something. There's a magic word that Bittel presupposes. What is it? What is it? What is it? What's
it's the not this.
But you can't say it that way.
Yeah, that's
not good. Okay? It means as follows. Bittel is presupposing that there is a fight to the finish, there is a clash between two opposite forces. I'm getting riled up. There's a war going on between two opposing teams, and the greater of the two is going to be victorious. That is what Bittel means. That's how the Ran looked at Chaz falling into potato soup. There's a fight, there's a war going on. And who's going to win? The opposite of Nes of Chanukah. It's not Rabbi Yad Matim, it's what? Yadim Yad Rabim. That's what it's like. Rabbi Yad Matim was a Nes. That was Lamala. You know, that wasn't normal. Normally, the one with the more, you know. But come on, at the end of the day, when you play Risk, right? It's such a silly game. Why? Because you spend hours and hours. It's the same 10,000 armies against 9,983. So you just spin the dice for 3 hours of Shabbos afternoon. At the end, it all boils down to the same 8 against 5. Because there's no rhyme and reason to this. Of course, according to the rules of the dice, it's totally fluke. There's no skills in playing Risk. And the only skill is, do you hold Australia first? Should I hold Australia first? The biggest skill is that you have to be smart enough to realize that the world is round. If you don't realize the world is round, then you get killed by Earth Tapsh or whatever. Of course, it pumps you out of the way. I played with my kids. They couldn't believe that I conquered Western America. Come from Irkutsk. That's not fear off the board. I said, well, Christopher Columbus, it's up that the world is round. I felt like the first people say that. No, the dateline is somewhere else. Okay. So the Yisrael is that the Rove is going to win. The Rove is going to win the war, but the Rove is only going to win the war if there's a war to start with. And there has to be a clash up there on. And that clash is a term that was first coined in Ashir when we learned Maseches Beitzah, if I'm not mistaken. I was still saying the BMP Shurim at the time. This goes back 16, 17, 18, I don't know. How many years have you been around? 12 years already? So that's it was Google before that. Whatever it was, a long time ago. By a Talmud, who was a little Israeli background, and I kept on talking about the clash and the conflict, said, Rebbe, what you mean to say is, Tzrich liot hit nagdut po. Conflict, clash, hit nagdut, and that term stuck. Not his nagdus, hit nagdut, and that's the term we've been using for years. For the last 18 years, that's the term we use. Bittel is presupposing a hit nagdut between two forces. The question becomes, there can only be a hit nagdut between forces if the forces are different from one another. And therein lies the secret to Machlokes Bittel and Rabbanim. How do you define whether something is similar or something is different? Well, that's a general life question. It depends what characteristics you're looking at. So I don't know, throughout this here. This is a good example. Are these two things similar or different?
Depends where you're looking.
Well, it depends. If you're talking about color, then
they're both black.
They're both black. On the other hand, this writes and this, I mean, theory has some money in it, maybe, whatever. Something. That's why he called it something. In it. So they're different. They serve different functions. On the other hand, they have the same color. Again, they're both black, very, very different functions. Use the same thing? Well, they different colors, but they both write. So it's always hard in life when you're trying to highlight similarities and differences. You have to ask yourself, well, what characteristics are you focusing on? In any given Tarevus of Duran, there are really two potential characteristics you could focus on to ask yourself, to answer that question that you're posing, is there Hitnagdut or not? You can look at the world through the eyes of Metzius, through the eyes of the laboratory, through the eyes of the non-Jewish world, through the eyes of the non-theoretical world, and ask yourself, is this the same or not? If that would be the case, if you had some kosher chicken soup and non-kosher chicken soup, would you say there's Hitnagdut there? Ask a goy. Is it Hitnagdut? Does the chicken soup? Does the chicken soup? One has an OU, one doesn't have an OU. That doesn't mean anything to him. So if you look at the world through the eyes of the secular world, through the eyes of science, through the eyes of just physical observation, through the world of Metzius, so the only things that really matter are physical characteristics, because your whole world is physical. If your whole vantage point in life is physical, so the characteristics of the items are physical. As such, if that's the case, then whenever you have a mixture of what and what, of min bimino, namely chicken soup and chicken soup, what's the problem? You are lacking what?
Hitnagdut.
And if you're lacking Hitnagdut, what's not going to happen? There's no war. You can't win a war unless there's a war that's declared. If there's no war, then you can't win. You can't win a game if the game didn't start. There's no one to play against. The other team didn't show up. It's a forfeit. There's no game. If there's no game, there's no war, there's no clash, there's no conflict, then there's no bittul. Then there's no victorious. No one's victorious. Says Duran, that is the view of who? That is Rabbi Yehuda's approach to life. Approach to Yeraday. Approach to Chul. Approach to Dam Kosh. Rabbi Yehuda Gezot. Licked in this Pasuk Dam Hasar, the Teirah Kedosha says, the word, the magic word Dam Hasar, was licked in that phrase Dam Hasar. The Rebbeinu this Yisrael, that the Dam Hasar, even though it's a million times less than the Dam Apar, it can't be bought ill. Because it's too close for comfort. It's too identical. It's in the Nuna. It is too similar to be Balta, because when it's too similar, it's not Nagdut. And if so, it's not Bittul, and therefore the Kali is moving away to Balta. Wherein do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? What Nakuda do the Rabbanan pick on Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbanan also agreed with Nagdut. Everyone agrees to that. But the Rabbanan looked at the world through what glasses, through what eyes?
Halachic.
Pre 3 o'clock, not post 3 o'clock. Torah, not Ma'adah. The Rabbanan looked at the world and said, I have two cups in front of me. One's a cup of kosher chicken soup, and one's a cup of treif for chicken soup. That's the same. What? They're so radically different. One, you have malchus ravi, and one is you can enjoy your Shabbos Friday night meal with. They're so radically different. Their physical characteristics are identical, but their halachic characteristics are so radically different. Therefore, there's itakdut, mitam those characteristics. And that's okay. Par and Sar, I have a cup of blood of par and a cup of blood of Sawyer. Ask your goy. Ask someone in the lab, someone who's collecting blood. You're doing a blood test on the blood of the par and the dam of the Sawyer. This is blood, this is blood. What's the difference? All the same thing. Ask the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Ask someone who's in tune to Ruchnias. Is dam of par and dam of Sawyer the same? Tell me, how different is it? What are you, crazy? The same. Dam of par is what? Par is mechapa for the Kohen Gadol. Tamasar is mechapa for Klal Yisrael. This is the carbon yochim. The world's apart. Hiktim tamasar, tamapar lo yotza. The whole avodas hayom is bottled. The whole kaparas hayom is bottled. They're huge differences. They use differences for the briskets. The Lord of the Sefer, you know what kachin is. People never heard kashrut. People don't know it. All they know blood is a. The veterinarian doesn't see a difference. Now I'm part of the Masar, but the brisket does. So Rabbi Yehuda looked at the world through the eyes of the veterinarian. And the Rabbanan looked at the world through the eyes of Halacha. And therein lies in the goodness of the Zoy Shteket. Everyone saw the round inside? The Zoy Shteket, the Ferish and Ran, you saw the round? Exactly what the round says. That's the first line of the round, basically. The first two, three lines of the round. And now he sets the stage for the real Lomdus that's going to come off from the Shem of the next year. But that's the stage of the round says. So Rabbi said, this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan is a major, major machlokes on the level of Deraisa that permeates potential shahs and kol terakula. How do we pass the halacha? It's like a no-brainer. If you had a paskin of machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, how would you paskin? No pun intended. Yachav Ram, Ram the Hakdash, you follow the right, you follow the Rabbanan, right? What can openly trump that rule? There's only one thing that can trump the rule of Yachav Ram. You know what it is? There's a machlokes that tanoi about something. Yachav Ram lochi Rabbim. Unless what? Unless the Amoraim themselves tell you that this is an exception to the rule. The later Amoraim and Machri against it, that's the Nimnu Vagramu, that's the Psachalam. So the only way anyone could salvage Rabbi Yehuda is to find a statement of Amoraim that supports Rabbi, that's positive Rabbi Yehuda. So do we have any statements that we know of? So the first Gemara that we have that weighs in on the topic is Chuldaf Tzadik Zayin Beis. This is not a very good support of Rabbi Yehuda. Anything, this is a rejection of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Amar Rabbanan, what's the case of Shishim? Nidbamino, Rabbi Yehuda would never say such a thing. So at first glance, the only Gemara that we have that the Amarim are discussing is our Gemara. So this is a disaster. So there's one Gemara for sure against Rabbi Yehuda. But, Rabbi said there are two other Gemaras that bear down this topic. There's a Gemara in the Maseches Avodah Zarah that talks about this topic potentially, and there's a Gemara, believe it or not, in Maseches Pesachim, part of that same discussion that we just had a minute ago, a half hour ago, that also talks about this topic. So you may have two other Gemaras that have to be addressed. If two out of those three Gemaras are going to pour like Rabbi Yehuda, we can play another game and say what? Right, one Gemara is Bach and Barav. We're not going to say that. So first of all, we have to discover those Gemaras. We have to find those Gemaras. If and when we discover those Gemaras, and if and when we believe those Gemaras are supporting Rabbi Yehuda, then we have to scratch your head and say, well, wait a second, so what was the Amoraim's final say in the matter? Did they ultimately hold like the Rabbanan, like it says in our Sugya, or did they ultimately hold Rabbi Yehuda, like it seems to say in the other Sugyas? So hopefully we have a lot of work to do on those three Gemaras. Agamar and those two other fantastic Gemaras that we haven't even discovered yet. Hopefully from tomorrow that will set the stage for the Sugya, but at least the Lumbus, the basic Lumbus, the not already of this one. Okay. Okay, a little recurve.